Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hey, this is Marshawn Lloyd, and you're listening to Moss Roster Watch. Hey, this is Marshawn Lloyd, and you're listening to Watch the Match.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by the Trash Man. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. And boys, we have we actually have news coming out of various mandatory mini camps. We have the guest Cody. Today we have the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Giants, the Rams, and the Seahawks that didn't practice last week, but instead have started practices on the 16th and on the 17th. So we have practices going on right now. Brian Daboll just got done talking to the media there in New York. So just a bunch of news and notes from around the league. I think that we can just start out with Daboll. So with him, all the questions are right now regarding Malik Nabers. And so he was asked today if he has concerns about him being ready for training camp, because he's been being held out for what they've been calling precautionary reasons for the toe injury that they said dates back to his time at LSU. He said that no, he has no concerns about Malik Nabers. He's going to be ready for training camp. He says it didn't keep him from getting to a Pro Bowl last year. They actually let him play in the Pro Bowl. They're taking it more cautiously with him. Or they let him take part in Pro Bowl activities, whatever those are. I don't even watch the Pro Bowl anymore. What do they do?
Dodgeball and like obstacles or something, maybe.
So I guess they let him take part in those. But anyway, regardless, they say they're just being careful with him. I did notice that Dr. David Chow, our good friend at Pro Football Doc from Sports Injury Central, said that he's worried about Nabers. He says, I would be concerned. He said, I would, because if you're not on the field in June, you haven't played football in 5+ months. You've only got 2 months before real football is being played. If you're not ready in 5 months, what's 2 more months going to do, right? So he says that he is worried about Malik.
Do you think it's about being not ready, though? Do you think it's about him not being ready to play football, or do you think it's just about the Giants being like, that's a Ferrari, we know what he is, and everything else in that wide receiver room, we can talk about it. Bo Collins, undrafted, is getting opportunities right now with the first team. It's like, it's not exactly a dense room, and I think getting a lot of those guys more opportunities is only going to help them. I'm not overthinking this at all. The thing is,
as much as I admire Dr. Chow and his work, he generally tends to err on the side of extreme caution and overreaction to things. So I'm taking this with a grain.
Doctors do.
Doctors do. As my own father does, you know?
Yeah, you got a couple. Which
overall is probably a good thing.
Okay. Well, I'm not worried about Nabers either. I'm looking at taking Nabers as wide receiver 4 right now. I think that after Chase, Jefferson, and CeeDee Lamb go off the board, I feel like that's its own tier. But I want to take him over Puka Nacua and over Amon-Ra St. Brown, who, if you look at – I know that on FFPC, St. Brown's going well ahead. But if you just look at Fantasy Pros ECR, if you look at ESPN, if you look at Yahoo – some of these early sites, it looks like Amon-Ra is going to be ahead in season long of Malik Nabers. I don't know whether that has to do with the foot, whether that just has to do with these ADPs, as we talked about yesterday, Trash Man kind of being bad and stupid right now. But
I'm still comfortable taking Malik Nabers in PPR as wide receiver 4. He was wide receiver 6 last season, and he's only gotten better quarterback play. So I'm hearing from you guys no real concern about Nabers.
No. And speaking of good quarterback play, like we saw an interview a week ago with Russell Wilson saying like one of the reasons he wanted to go to New York was because of Nabers. And he just like Russ has said that he's watched every single snap that Nabers took last year. And then we've had Jackson Dart, you know, the last couple of days, you know, Dart's had a pretty good, pretty good showing. I said, and I don't really care about the completions and 8 for 11, this for that, but they said he's looked good in the scripted and the unscripted situations. So kind of expected, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard to have worse quarterback play. I think all three of these dudes would be better for a Malik Nabers type than Daniel Jones was.
The other news from out of Giants camp, I guess, you know, if you consider it important, is that the pecking order has been, it seems like it's kind of really become Russell Wilson, Jackson Dart, Jameis Winston, right? It's been Jackson Dart with the twos. Is that what you guys had been expecting to shake out like that? You're talking about we're talking about Jameis Winston in a first round pick.
Well, the thing is, Winston, I think regardless of who the rest of his personnel is, we know what we're getting. I think this is a chance to get Dart familiar with the teammates. He, you know, get him closer to playing with the teammates he'll be playing with for the majority of the time when he becomes the starter, hopefully, inevitably. Winston, yeah, I don't think we really need to see much on him. I mean, Russell, the starter, of course he needs to play with the ones. Winston, you know, we use as needed with Winston. So yeah, it's not a big surprise or a shock to me. But I do still think that if Russell Wilson was to go down, that Winston would be the next man up.
Jalen Hyatt today, just something to keep an eye on. He left minicamp yesterday with an apparent leg injury. We haven't gotten an update on that just yet, so we'll keep an eye on it. But it brings up the point, just talking about Jalen Hyatt, talking about, you know, Darius.
Are people talking about Jalen Hyatt?
No, I'm just saying I'm just making mention of him.
Are they just talking about a hotel and
it invokes the idea of like Slayton, and I've said Wandale Robinson can be fine maybe in late round PPR stuff. I don't have a problem with Wandale, but basically the reason we're having this discussion about the quarterbacks is just as it relates to Malik Nabers, right? As it relates to the kind of, you know, boardwalk on the old Monopoly board, right? That's the one that we care about. And so if I was just under the impression with this whole Jackson Dart thing, I was under the impression that if Brian Daboll gets in the mode where he needs to save his job and Russell Wilson's not getting it done, I'm not sure that he throws Jackson Dart right in right then. Because you don't want it to be one of these.
That's what I just said.
But right, so like I want Jameis to come in, and I want Jameis to throw the ball 50 times a game to Malik Nabers and throw like 7 picks.
That's what you want if you're Daboll?
No, that's what I want in fantasy.
Well, we're playing fantasy though. Daboll's playing for his job in your scenario. In your scenario, he's trying to say, all right. Now you get to see the kid that we've been, you know, working with for the last 4 months. This is the future. There's positivity here.
Yeah, but
give me my job. Let me get my job. If you put Winston out there,
that's better towards the end of the season, though, Cody. I think it's because if I were Daboll, like let's say that they're, you know, 2-5 coming into week 7 or something, and if you go to Dart in week 7, there's a real chance he comes in and maybe looks good for a couple games, but then turns into a pumpkin, and then you're toast. Right? I would want him to end the season strong after you've seen these other two quarterbacks play.
I mean, that's a Daboll and Mara conversation. For us, I would love to see Winston throw the ball 50 times, even though, you know, 35 of those are going to be to scrubs. But I think for Dayball's perspective, you have to go Dart, and then you just have to talk to the ownership and say, this kid's going to be good. Just give me time, give me time, give me time. And you have to buy yourself time and prove it. But I think, yeah, I mean, it's a very rare situation to have three guys like this in the same room where, you know, two of them are like 10-year vets, and one of them is a, you know, a first round pick that's projecting. Right. So I don't know. I wish there was more talent in that wide receiver room. Like when you hear Bo Collins is like Neighbors is down and Hyatt's down, so Bo Collins is getting work. You're like, you mean the undrafted guy?
It's yeah, like you're like Bo who? Yeah, you like, know
that's where we're at. It's like it's tough. You didn't go out and I don't know. It's just
ice. So
I don't want anything else there. Like
I don't care about any of these other guys besides Malik Neighbors. That's just why we're having this conversation.
Oh, so you don't care about Cam Scadaboo?
Oh, I do. I kind of at this, we're not getting much Cam Scadaboo using the ultimate draft cheat sheet, which is available right now, being updated to version 1.3 as we speak over at rosterwatch.com. The only tool that you'll need to dominate your fantasy football drafts, the original three-step cheat sheet over at rosterwatch.com. The PPR version again is up right now. It is for season-long managed leagues. It's not for best ball leagues. And that's what we're beginning to turn our attention to because that is where our bread gets buttered. Okay.
One more question though, because Scadaboo hasn't practiced at all. And that has to mean something for Tyrone Tracy. I know he's dealing with a number of things, injury and off field stuff, but also that offensive line. Like,
what is the off field stuff again?
He's getting sued by like a player, I think, on a former teammate, maybe.
Oh, I remember. That's a weird deal.
Yeah. But he hasn't done anything since being drafted. He hasn't practiced much at all. And so, you know, I can like this whole write-up I'm reading over in The Athletic, like control F Tyrone Tracy doesn't show up. His Tyrone Tracy name doesn't show up once in this whole column, but you get Scadaboo and Hyatt and all these other guys. So Tracy's kind of interesting to me right now. And then the other side of it is this, listen, from the NFL draft perspective, we've talked about Evan Neal before. He was working at left guard during OTAs. And then there's a report that came out in this Athletic write-up that says he played left guard as a freshman at Alabama. So the offensive line coach right now for the Giants wants to keep some familiarity with him doing that. However, on Tuesday, he played at both guard spots, right and left, right after John Runyon went to left. And then he shifted back to left when Jake Kubis came in and played right. Is this ship sailed on Evan Neal for us?
Not at guard.
He was playing. I mean, did you see that? You saw that video last week, right? Or 2 weeks ago from OTAs when they ran a blitz and he was playing left guard and everybody got through.
Oh,
like if they're moving him from left guard to right, like are they moving him everywhere?
It's going to take a minute for me to get off of just completely just it's going to take me a minute to just say the ship's completely sailed on Evan Neal.
I mean, it's been 3 years.
I get it. It's just going to take him. It's going to take me. I'm being honest with you. It's going to take me like
he's
another
so
minute.
Good.
It's going to take me another minute or two. I'm not ready to say it yet, man. I'm like old Doug Peterson, getting asked about LaVisca Chenault.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
All right, last one on the Giants is Tracy. Tracy's going off the board right next to Jaylen Warren right now, just a little bit after Brian Robinson on most platforms. He's right around pick 100. Is that too rich given where we're at right now?
For Tracy?
Yeah.
No. I'd rather have Chick Tracy over Warren any day.
Well, I think we would all – I think that
– Pacheco?
No. I want Pacheco.
Yeah.
Najee?
I would prefer Tyrone Tracy to Najee Harris, I think.
Yeah.
All right, last one. How about ETN?
I prefer Tracy.
I need to make that. I think right now, dude, that's another thing, Cody. We talked about it before, but since you bring up ETN, he was being interviewed, talking about how he feels like he's such a scheme fit in this new offense. And we had John Shipley's report we talked about yesterday with saying he looks like the RB1. He's saying that they're using me in space. He's real happy with how he's being used. I don't know, man. I'm starting to think the guys like ETN and these dudes like ETN, Rashad White, some of these guys are getting slept on a little bit too much right now that are going in that same sort of area as we mentioned before with the, you know, like these guys that, who I don't even want at all, like Ramondre Stevenson. I have a little bit more interest in Javonte Williams than you do, but yeah. We're talking about that kind of pocket of players. Rashad White goes a little bit after that pocket, kind of towards the back of that pocket, more with like the Jordan Masons of the world and stuff. But how are you stacking it up? Like you were saying that yesterday ETN's got no juice, but we're continuing to keep on getting pretty good reports.
I mean, I just think with the backfield situation, I think Tracy's just got a clear path to touch it on a weekly basis in that offense.
Cody, and you're the same way. You're just off on ETN. You don't care about
this. I'm not off on ETN.
I'm asking Cody.
If he feels like he's a scheme fit, then that the door opens up for, you know, the Bucky rule. But man, I'm gonna have to go down and see it. Like, it's one of those situations. Like, I just got to see it to believe it. If I go down to Jacksonville camp in next month or 2 months from now, and it's like clear as day, I'll believe it. And I don't think that'll be too late in the process to pivot onto him. But I think that there's just a lot to, you know, still. I can't believe you'd pick up that whole playbook in a month and a half. Since Liam Cohen got there, I can't believe that the answer would just be on June 18th, you know, ETN's the guy over Tootin, over Tank, over all these guys. I just think that it's going to be a while before there's a clear definitive, even though ETN says I'm a fit. And John Shipley says he looks like he's the RB1. Like, that's just not enough for me.
All right. Here's a question as to whether they're the RB1 or not. So Chad Graff in The Athletic, he says it's still unknown whether Travion Henderson can be a true bell cow back or whether he's just a third down back. But he did say Henderson has been by far the most explosive Patriots offensive player in offseason practices. And he said his development as a runner between the tackles will go a long way toward determining his future success. I mean, to me, whenever I hear somebody say that he's been by far the most explosive player on offense, it's like, well, of course. I mean, and it's just Travion Henderson. Of course he's going to play, and of course he's going to be good.
I mean, no doy. It's like the practice has just started. I mean, what does he expect to happen? What do you expect his kid to do in that amount of time? I mean, the question is still there because we haven't had enough evidence. We haven't had a large enough sample size, but – you know, the hypothesis is that this guy will be the starter, and it looks, you know, and it's a pretty strong showing thus far.
No offense to Chad Graff, but I mean, I don't think a lot of people expected Travion Henderson to come in there and be Adrian Peterson, be a three down back.
Well, yes, that's the thing. I was reading it. I'm like, well, I mean, did you watch Trey Henderson in college? I guess he didn't.
He can be a three down back though.
But that's not what
he could be. But it's like, that's not what you expect him to come in and be like, all right, day one, he's going to be like Ashton Jeanty or something out. He's just a different kind of player.
Yeah. Austin Eckler didn't need to be. He could. He did it. It wore him down. Jahmyr Gibbs doesn't need to be. He's got David Montgomery. He could do it. He did it in a few games. Yeah. Travion Henderson can do it, but they don't need him to do that. Like, sure, maybe if an injury happens.
And we don't need him to do it for us in fantasy. Give him six targets. Like, dude, if you locked in just 15 opportunities per game, six targets, nine rushes, something like that, I'd be like, I'm fine.
Printing money. But literally, look what happened, though, to Eckler, to McCaffrey. These guys, when they get the overworkload, like, they don't need it. Those guys don't need it. Eckler never needed it. He got it. And ended up, you know, wearing down on his body the latter years in Los Angeles. But it's like these guys with that, you know, modest workload, like Jahmyr Gibbs showed us last year, they can eat for us in fantasy. And I mean, all respect to Chad and in his reporting and stuff, but that's just not why I would have drafted Travion into the NFL if I was drafting him.
If you're thinking about drafting Kyren Williams, then you have some big update here from Sean McVay, the same update that we get from another Rams are practicing right now, the same update as ever. The team has made progress on a contract extension for Kyren Williams, the same way they've been doing, the same steady, slow and steady turtle wins the race progress they've been making since January. you guys have any thought? They're not going to withstand Kyren, are they?
No. The comments underneath the Stu Jackson, I saw reported this. He wrote this too. I'm not sure who's you're reading, but this one in particular has like a couple responses to it. And it's like, I think Cormann Hunter will be fine. They better not extend him. Slim chance.
Oh, these are fans.
Extend him.
These are
they
fans
better not bring him back.
Okay.
It's like all negativity. And they're telling us. They're not lying to us. Like you said, we say at the draft, they can't lie to you during the draft. They didn't. And they've told us what now? Four times? We're working on it. We're making progress. We're working on it. We're making progress.
It's been more than four. If you count both McVay and Les Snead, it's been a lot.
Yeah. So since the combine, yeah, it's probably been – you're right.
And Les Snead at the Senior Bowl. I mean,
honestly, though, the Rams don't have that many weapons outside of Puka Nacua.
I mean, they got Davante Adams, and they drafted Terrence Ferguson, who they like, and they still got Higbee.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, but it's still – I think Williams is still the linchpin of that offense, and he has been successful in that role. I think there's a possibility that they work it out.
It could be a run. I don't know if they're going to work it out, but I don't know if it hurts them for fantasy this year. It could be like we talked about with Kamara. It could be a run the wheels off season,
which is fine.
Like ETN, it could be a run the wheels off season. We have to keep that within the realm of possibility. All right, Cody, going to your Minnesota Vikings. I know they're not practicing right now, but a trial date was set for Jordan Addison's 2024 DUI. It's going to be July 15th. That's
perfect
for Kevin Seifert of ESPN. He could end up missing time. Are we going to have to bake in? Or are we going to have to project him to miss 3-4 games here?
Do we know how many – is this his first offense?
Well, there was the other time whenever he was speeding super fast. But I believe, Cody, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this. He got a lot of public sympathy on that because I think he was taking his dog to the vet.
Yeah, so I was having a small brain thought here because I was trying to remember if this was connected or not. But this one was from him falling asleep at LAX last year, drunk. So
allegedly,
according to CBS, I would venture to bet he probably gets. I don't know. Does he get four?
Doesn't it seem like it's three?
Four seems unlikely to me.
I was going
to
say two, but I would. I mean, three, two, three, four, something like this. Whatever it is, as soon as it hits, it's going to obviously expose a little bit of value in fantasy.
I wouldn't be taking him right now.
Not right now, no. I think you wait till this thing happens.
Wait till afterwards, and then I think you might be able to get him in what has become a zone where. You know, it's actually been kind of becoming his own where I'm interested in taking like where Travis Kelce's falling right now, or maybe taking a shot at a Bo Nix. Are you guys interested in some kind of Jordan Addison, say, mid eighth round?
That seems low.
That seems like a value, right?
That would be a value for sure.
Even if he's missing two or three games, you would be fine.
Yeah, I mean, like what he like last season, average 10 fantasy points a game. I mean, more than Ladd McConkey, more than Cortland Sutton.
The thing is, dude, like as far like he's actually one of these guys that's, I mean,
say
like. As far as the busts and monsters tool, I mean, he goes for a monster game of 25 PPR points, 11.74% of the time over the course of the last 2 years, and he busts under 30% of the time, which is better than Mike Evans and Cooper Kupp and Waddle and Nico Collins and Zay Flowers, and so I mean he's been good.
He's sort of rare too in the aspect of like if Jefferson ever misses time, he fills in. Like
yeah, you
not
can't,
one
you,
for one, but yeah. sort of one for one.
Like, people are so dumb with the way that they think that you can do run wide receivers the same way that you do running back handcuffs.
Addison's just not a rare one that you can.
It's not how it works, but it's like Jamar Chase, T. Higgins is another one of those, right? The one goes out, you can tee up the other one big time.
Speaking of running back handcuffs, I wanted to ask you one question before we got out of here about a running back handcuff.
All right.
The Bengals had a quote. Dan Hoard reported. Dan Hoard is from the Bearcat Voice Radio of the Cincinnati Bengals. Got a quote from the Bengals, Zach Taylor, saying about Taj Brooks. For him to be there in the sixth round when we got him, we're really lucky that he fell to us at that point. And the other part of this post was saying, it's crazy how 18 running backs were taken ahead of Taj Brooks. There's videos of Taj Brooks catching passes in the flat, moving fluid. That running back situation in Cincinnati obviously is just Chase Brown, and I've kind of referenced it as more of like a poor man's Rams backfield. But where Taj Brooks is going off the board right now, it's like the complete end of these drafts, like almost 200th overall. Could you make a case that he might be worth more to us than the Kareem Hunts of the world, Algiers of the world, Ray Davises of the world?
I think he falls right in line with those guys. And I think that if it's, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that you should probably like Taj Brooks more than you like.
He might split this backfield.
Yeah, man. Like more than you like some of these guys that you know are handcuffs, like Marshawn Lloyd, Blake Corum.
Those guys don't necessarily have another back. And I mean, I think Zach Moss
going to retire.
Zach Moss is done playing football, trash man. He's not going to play. I mean, don't you remember all the eulogies that they were giving him last year? They don't do that whenever it's a neck and it's like, they're just like, oh gosh, this is so scary. We're just praying for his health. We're just hoping the best for him in his personal life. He's not going to play. So, I'm not worried about that. And here's the thing too, Here's the main thing. Even if Zach Moss played, Taj Brooks is better. And I would suggest to anybody, go watch Taj Brooks's film from Texas Tech. Go watch the volume that he was able to take on. Go see what a prolific runner that he was able to be. And just say you can't close your eyes and see a world where he's going to split all the work with Chase Brown.
Who's a better two down back, Chase Brown or Taj Brooks?
Two down back?
Yeah.
Taj Brooks.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.